I feel closer to Jesus already.
I do too.
Welcome to Taste and See, a podcast of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. My name is Gray Ewing, co-host and producer of the show. I'm joining up with Ted Wiestee, the other host of the show and the director of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. Season 2, The Prayer of Jesus.
Good friends, to another episode of Taste and See. This is a podcast of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. We're in season 2 talking about the Lord's Prayer, going line by line together. I have in the studio with me today Ted Wiestee. Ted is the director of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona, and we have been meeting now for about a year now to go through this podcast and really growing in our friendship and growing in our understanding of God's Word and really growing together. So I'm thankful to have this time with you, Ted.
Likewise, Gray. And by way of introduction, since your first time, I'm sitting across from Gray Ewing. And he is a pastor here in the Phoenix area, husband to Becca, three boys, full life. And it is a joy to walk through this. And, you know, with this season in particular, the continuity and the repetition of walking through the prayer slowly, line by line, I'm hoping is also a model for how we can pray the prayer. That it's not something to just be rattled off to do and get over with, but it's really something to slowly walk through and make it not just a rote prayer, but this might sound kind of funny, but a prayerful prayer. A thoughtful prayer, something where we are taking those words and living into them.
Yeah, we're really desiring to have a life that's shaped by this prayer and all that it contains, which is so much. And so we're excited to dive into that today. And our commitment is to always have some kind of food on the table. Sometimes we have a full meal. A couple times ago we had dessert. And today is going to take a little explanation, I think, from you, Ted, because what we're having is a self-made dessert here of bread and honey. So tell us about that.
Well, yeah, you know, I think initially we were doing these podcasts and we would do one at a time. We'd have lunch or whatever. And now we're recording a couple of these at a time. So we're having a meal together and then we're having to think creatively about, you know, an hour later, not eating.
For the record, I'm good with having two meals in a row.
Well, you know, okay, I'm guilty too. But so last time we had it, we had some really great cookies. And today I had to think about, so what do we do? How do we have another something to eat? And what we're going to be walking through today is give us this day our daily bread. So I started thinking about that. Oh, some bread. Maybe I go find a bakery and whatever. And the long and short of it is I got some pita bread because that's, you know, kind of Mediterranean, sort of connected with the, you know, the biblical scene, right? And some honey. And Land of Israel, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, it's getting ridiculous now.
Ted, as we approach this phrase today, give us this day our daily bread, I'm struggling to think of a more robust biblical metaphor in the scriptures than bread. From start to finish, bread is this metaphor for being fed by God, being sustained by Him. And I think we're going to unpack that a lot today, bring out some of those scriptural references, try to weave them all together to see why Jesus would come to a time like this, and one of the images that would be relevant to Him would be to give us this day our daily bread. Of course, bread was part of the daily life of the Israelite, much like it's part of our daily life. There's a simplicity to it, but there's such a depth too, and I think we're going to be unpacking that today.
Yeah, you know, we start with just the simplicity of bread, and it is simple, and we're going to dive into some stuff and look at all the biblical connections and the interconnections with physical and spiritual and all that, and then hopefully at the end bring it back to a place of simplicity, because at the end of the day, rather than this being some complex thing, Jesus is really, in this part of the prayer, offering something to us that is so simple that it strips us down to this place of depending upon God's provision.
Give us what we need. That's what he's asking in a nutshell. So let's talk about the phrase itself, Ted. And some would probably notice right off the bat that the phrase itself seems a little redundant. To say, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, why is that idea repeated even in the phrase itself, some might wonder. What do you think?
Yeah, it should catch us. Now, it might not because it's familiar. Give us this day our daily bread, and it feels quite familiar. But he could have just said, give us our daily bread, or give us today our bread. And so part of what can start to help us understand what's going on here is that there's a Greek word here, epiousion, and it's most commonly translated as daily into English translations. But it's an interesting word because it's not found anywhere else in the scriptures except for Luke, where we find the Lord's Prayer as well. And it's not found in Greek literature. Some have really surmised that it was a made-up word to represent something significant that Jesus was signifying here. And there's lots of options for what might be going on, but it might be easiest to just say that it's not simply a reference to physical bread. It is that, clearly. But the word there, that adjective that modifies bread, it could point to essential or what is needed, that sort of thing. So we could even translate it as, Lord, give us today what is essential. Give us today what is needed.
And just beginning down that path of the rich and deep, beautiful imagery that we have there, the idea of daily bread goes back to the people of God in the wilderness. And what they were given was bread from heaven. It's called manna in the Old Testament. It's clearly called bread elsewhere in the Bible as well. Some kind of flaky, light substance that most looked like bread, and it came from heaven. And when the people of God were in the wilderness, away from any source of food, they had, and away from any source of water at times, they had to get water from a rock, you know, a couple different times. God gave them what they needed. And the emphasis on the manna passage is about the daily provision. If you look at the laws governing manna, when God would give them manna from heaven, it would just appear on the ground, and the next day they would go out and take it, but they were only told to take enough for that day. And in fact, if you did take more manna than you were supposed to for your daily allotment, then God would cause it to be soiled. And so this idea, it seemed, as I was growing up and hearing that story, I was like, man, you know, let them store up a little bit, you know, let them have some extra food. But the whole idea of the manna in the wilderness is that daily dependence on God. They were, of course, allowed to take up more on the day before the Sabbath so that they wouldn't have to take up the bread on the Sabbath. But on that day, they were enjoying the provision of God too and just his presence in their midst. And so all of it was designed for their hearts to be engaged with God who gives daily what they need.
Yeah, the manna, clearly, you know, this looking back to that reference, you know, to the bread given in the wilderness, God is a God of abundance. Clearly, he is a God of abundance. And yet with him, we don't have to store things up. He provides what is needed in the moment for the day. And so with the example of the manna, storing things up wasn't needed and it wasn't even possible. God, in that sense, was gracing them. He was guarding their hearts. that they wouldn't store up more than what they needed.
So God can be depended on every day. You don't need to plan for a future time when He's not going to provide for you.
And certainly this doesn't take away the idea of having wisdom. You know, if you think about financially having a savings account, if you're able to save, or, you know, things like that. But certainly the heart issue here is trusting God for what's needed.
And I think the important point there, too, is that it's those things are good, but they're not essential. And this whole idea of give us this day what's essential for us, what's needed for this moment, the sustenance we need for life, and that is God Himself. So tying it back in, we could go in other places, and David eating the showbread, and you know, and this whole idea of there being bread always in the temple. But all the way into the New Testament, we get this idea of the feeding of the 5,000, that story that Jesus multiplies this provision so that the crowds are fed. And what we see, it's interesting to me, I read that story recently, and what he's really doing in that story is he's showing his disciples that that ministry and ministering to others even can be this thing where it's multiplied out of the life of himself rather than out of our own life. And so he's even showing his disciples, hey, look, I can take care of these people. They've come to me from all over the place, and there's no way that we could go and buy food for them. But don't worry, because even 5,000 people, I can take care of. I can multiply the bread for them.
And when we look at that, we're also then reminded, and our hearts and minds ought to be pointed to really the ultimate referent here of bread, which is Jesus Himself. Mm. You know, He said, "I am the bread of life." Many people have made the tie-in to the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, that in the Lord's Supper, we take the bread, we take the wine, we feast upon the body of Christ. And so we are, in praying this, give us this day the bread that we need or what's essential. We're again reminding ourselves of our need to feast upon, to rely upon Jesus as the bread of life, mm-hmm. that He is our sustenance. He is essential, and He is satisfying, and He sustains us.
He is the bread from heaven. He's called that in Scripture. He is the manna that appears at the time of need. He is the loaf that's broken, and by His body being broken, that sacrifice is multiplied to even greater numbers than 5,000, to the ends of the earth, even to a place like Phoenix, Arizona, all the way at the ends of the earth. That sacrifice of Christ's body can still be distributed to the world because it's His life for the world that He gave. And so His body is given to us, Himself is given to us in the taking of the bread that we partake of when we do in the Lord's Supper. But I just love all the images coming to this head here. And Jesus, when He calls Himself the bread of life, it's just so much behind that. All the I am statements, really, when He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. And He says, I am the bread of life. All these threads, all these breadcrumbs, you might say, that have been, you know, laid throughout the Old Testament, all lead to this moment, and it's me.
I love that, the breadcrumbs. No pun intended.
That was not planned. No, that was...
yeah, no pun intended, breadcrumbs. Yeah, and you know, the breadcrumbs also of just everything in this physical world was created to point our hearts to who God is. You know, we were given bodies where we have to feed them. There's a very real, rooted, gritty way in which our bodies reflect a spiritual reality that we are dependent upon God. And so God created bread, something that we need, so that we would depend on Him for that, and also to point us to our need for Him. Mm. And specifically here, that daily reminder that we need Christ. Mm. He is sufficient for us. And you know, it's interesting as well in the context of the prayer here. Jesus tells a story, both in the context in Luke 11 and also the context, it's the next chapter in Matthew, into chapter 7. But he tells he gives the story or the parable of asking and seeking and knocking. And he says, for everyone who asks receives, one who seeks finds, one who knocks it will be opened. And then he tells this little story, this little mini parable, if you will. He says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And it's interesting because the parallel passage in Matthew says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? And so as we come to God and ask him, and we are dependent upon him, he is giving us what we need, the sustenance for daily life physically, but there is this deeper spiritual reality of we're given the Holy Spirit. And the tie-in there with Jesus being the bread of life and our sustenance. And Jesus said before he was leaving his disciples, but I'm now sending one to you, the Holy Spirit.
Another thing, Ted, I don't know how much to make of this personally, but it has been pointed out before too that bread is something that humans make. You know, it's not something that grows necessarily on trees. So when we think about God's provision, he gives us these things, the bread and the wine, say in communion, are both things that are things that are taken in nature and then made into something different, you know, made into something even more robust and beautiful, you might say. The grain that becomes the bread and the wine, or the grapes that become the wine. And so this idea of choosing something, Jesus chose something, our daily bread, in a sense almost implies some industry and cooperation and participation on our part as well. So give us of yourself, but you know, give us these opportunities to provide for ourselves. And I don't know what you think about that. We may cut this, I don't know, but
well, you know, that's really interesting because Jesus didn't say, you know, I'm the apple of life. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't say, you know, I'm the banana, or I'm the pomegranate, or the fig, or whatever. You know, I don't think they had bananas in Israel at that time. I don't know. But certainly figs or pomegranates. But he didn't say I'm this fruit that just sort of, you know, falls off of a tree and is given. Mm-hmm. Bread is something that requires some partnership with God. As you say that, that's what's coming to my mind is, you know, there is an initiative on our part. And spiritually, you know, God doesn't just plop himself into our lives. He makes himself available, and then we seek him. Mm. We go to him. We do have to orient our lives in such a way that we get to enjoy the fruits of a relationship with him. So I don't know. That's an interesting comment.
The application would be something similar to what we saw, like with the kingdom come or thy will be done. There's always the element of God's leading in something. And all of this is from God's initiative, right? So he gives us the daily bread. None of our participation in that takes away from his giving us the actual elements of everything that we need for that obedience. But like we said with the kingdom, but help us bring foretastes to the kingdom. And like we said with his will, help us to know your will and follow your will in the same way. Help us to have the industry to be able to provide for ourselves. You know, you've given us all the raw elements, but, you know, help us get that daily bread.
We began by saying that there's a real simplicity to this. I mean, what's more simple than bread? We talked about a lot of the complexities, and there's this interconnection between the physical and the spiritual, and certainly the ultimate referent here is Christ. It's God's presence in our lives, certainly through the Holy Spirit. But to bring it back to this place of simplicity, this is about trusting God for what we need, trusting him for what is essential. And the assumption underneath this this request, this part of the prayer, is that God will provide and give us what we need. He'll give us what we need to live, the bread of life. And so there's this shift from self-sufficiency to trust or dependence. And so as we've been talking about, each part of this prayer has a formational element to it, a part of it. It forms us. It shifts us from this to that. The invitation here is to move from self-sufficiency to trust, to dependence.
Well said, Ted. I want to draw out one other thing, too, from this, which is that when we pray this, give us this day our daily bread, you'll notice that those words are in the plural. Give us our bread. And we made a lot already the last couple of podcasts about this idea of in the prayer we move from my to thy, or we move from thy to my in the prayer, and oftentimes our lives are focused on me first and then we bring in God later. But actually the way the prayer is structured is that it's him first and then our needs flow out of a life that's formed by him. So from my to thy. But here even we're encouraged to move from me to us. From the individual to the corporate, to the big picture, which is that we're in this together. It's not just that I need to get mine today, it's that we need to have a life together. And so there is a horizontal dimension to praying this part of the prayer. Give us our daily bread. And in a sense, we're called in multiple places in Scripture to share that bread with others. So those that have need, the early church, look at Acts chapter 2. You know, they were sharing in common all things so that if anyone had any need, they were bringing it to the apostles. And this beautiful picture of no one went hungry, no one had a greater need because God had already given the bread, so to speak, with all different kinds of resources. And the people of God were saying, okay, let's not hoard our resources. Let's give them to make sure that we can all have our daily bread. And so that horizontal dimension can't be missed in this as well. It's not just that God gives us the bread, but he gives us the bread so that we can all share in that life.
Yeah, certainly as we're praying, give us, there should be an element of that where we're thinking about the larger corporate sense.
Who doesn't have their daily bread today?
Yeah, who doesn't have their daily bread, both physically and then also spiritually, to think about, are there people who are spiritually needy? Are they feasting upon Christ? Are they realizing Christ as their all-sufficient King? Mm. And so, you know, the prayer is, as we pray it, slowly, deliberately, intentionally, it is constantly shifting us and forming us into viewing God and ourselves and our world as more than me. I'm not the reference point. I'm involved, but it's not just simply about me. So as we think about some application points here, a couple of things we might think about, and one is, this is challenging us to daily trust. We come each day and entrust ourselves to God. We lay down our own sense of self-sufficiency each day. And again, it's not this one-time thing that I'm no longer self-sufficient, but daily we're reminded that there's a temptation to rely upon myself for whatever's going on in this day. It's a daily trust. And the trust then specifically is that he will provide. And it connects our hearts with others. And, you know, how might we be a part of answering that prayer for others in our world?
Just to put a little bow on this for us, Ted, too, I'm thinking now as you're even saying that asking for our daily bread in the context of this prayer actually is such a beautiful picture of how we have everything in Christ, and yet we're still needy, right? That tension is within the prayer itself. It's in our Christian walk. When we look at 2 Peter 1, it says that you have everything you need for life and godliness. You know, you have the gospel. You are beloved by the Father. Where did we start this prayer? Our Father. There's already a relationship. There's already love. you're already full. You know, you don't need anything in that sense. And yet, as we step out into the day, needs start arising, and like needs for comfort, need for affirmation, need for physical food, need for love, for sex, and all the things that God's given us, and we have these needs and we lean into them. And the prayer beautifully captures that all of it's by grace and all of it's given already. And yet, it's not given in such a way that we then can walk away from the Father. We need Him for every day, even though He's already made us secure. And I love, that rings true of my life in a sense, when I can feel His security and I can also feel my dependency at the same time.
I love that so much, Gray, for us to realize that we have everything we need, and yet the way that we experience that is the dynamic thing in which we are trusting each moment, each day. The fact of our relationship with God in Christ is settled, but the experience of that is a dynamic thing that is happening each moment. In the same way that we can't eat once a month and we're settled for the month, you know, there has to be this regularity to it. You know, where each day we're having something to eat, both physically and spiritually.
So we've said many times, our intention in this podcast is to invite a daily practice, more than daily practice. And what we like to do is go ahead and help you do that in the podcast itself. You're listening to this at a point in time. I'm guessing it's a point in time when you need God, because that's every point in time. And so now is a great time to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so what we're going to do now is just invite you into a time of praying with us the words that Jesus taught us to pray.
So I invite you to, wherever you are, however you're listening to this, to take a deep breath, to quiet yourself, your body, your mind, your heart. Quiet yourself before God. Let's pray this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. And so, Lord God, as we pray this prayer, may it continually shape us and form us more deeply into the image of Christ. And as the disciples of Jesus asked him, Lord, teach us to pray like you do. Oh, Lord God, that we might pray like Jesus. We thank you that indeed you do give us our daily bread. You provide. You give us what we need. Even to pray like this. So we trust that all to you and to your care as our good Father, our sovereign King. And we pray this all in your name for your glory. Amen.
Amen. We are continually grateful to you, friends of the Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. Thank you for listening today. Check out activities, spiritual director lists, and all kinds of resources at sfsaz.org. That's our website. And we're glad to have you today. Be well.
See you next time.